This is Tell Me More from NPR News. I'm Michelle Martin. Coming up, the debate over undocumented versus illegal. Supreme Court Justice Sonia Sotomayor caused a stir when she used the term undocumented immigrant in her first court opinion. A regular contributor, Ruben Navarrete, caused another when he defended the use of the term illegal. So which term is more accurate? We'll have that conversation later in the program. But first to Nigeria, where the alleged involvement of a young man from that country in that attempted airline bombing Christmas Day is causing soul-searching, anxiety, and resentment. The alleged would-be bomber, Umar Farouk Abdul-Muttalab, was indicted yesterday by a federal grand jury. In this country, the debate continues over security procedures and whether Muttalab deserves the protections of the civilian courts. But his actions have also had a dramatic impact in Nigeria, where many officials and commentators quickly condemned the attempted bombing. But Nigeria is now on the list of 14 countries of interest, along with Afghanistan, Iraq, and Saudi Arabia, whose citizens will be subjected to special screening when they travel to the U.S. We wanted to know more about how the incident is playing out in Nigeria and how Nigerians in the U.S. are reacting to all this. So we called Constance Ikoku, the deputy editor of the newspaper This Day in Lagos, Nigeria. She recently returned to Nigeria from a reporting stint in the U.S. I'm also joined in the studio by Mobolaji Aluko. He's a professor of chemical engineering at Howard University, and he's a Nigerian community leader here in Washington. I welcome you both. Thank you for joining us. Happy New Year.
It's nice to have you.
Thanks for having me.
Constance, how is the story being covered in Nigeria? Is it front page news?
Oh, definitely. All the papers have been covering the story since it broke. People are looking at government reaction to the alleged bombing. People are looking at the implications on Nigeria. People are looking at what gave birth to Abdul Muttalab's radicalism. And people are also asking questions. Is he a victim of his parents' decision? Do you send away a child at a very young age? What are the implications? So, you know, all the papers are covering the story. So it's everyone's literally consumed by it at the moment.
Professor, you lived in the U.S. for about 3 decades now, as I understand it, and you're a dual citizen of both the U.S. and Nigeria. What's it been like to watch the story unfold here from the U.S.?
Well, it's been one of shock. It couldn't have happened at a worse day, Christmas Day, when everybody was home, and CNN talked about it 1,000 times, mentioning the name of Nigeria each time. To also see later on such a young, handsome man be so deranged, really, to want to kill not only himself but 300 other people without caring about the good name of his family or that of Nigeria. That has been a shock, and as Constance has said, that has really consumed not only Nigerians, but those of us Nigerians at home, but those of us abroad.
It feels like a slap in the face, as it were, to you as a Nigerian.
More than a slap in the face. If he had succeeded, 300 people would have died. Many of them Nigerian. One of them was my friend who was on the plane. He told me later on that he was on that very flight, about 25 seats away from him. His wife, who is also a friend, will have been a widow. So it's really a heinous attempt, and we just thank God it didn't happen. We are, of course, very happy too that his father had alerted the world to it. So that was something to the good feather in the cap of a Nigerian parent who was concerned enough to alert the security force.
You know, it's interesting. I understand that there's some resentment in Nigeria about the Nigerian citizens being placed on this list of countries where its citizens will be subjected to special or additional screening upon for those who are heading to the U.S. And earlier this week, Dora Akunyili, Nigeria's Minister of Information, appeared on NPR's Morning Edition, and she talked about the sense that Nigeria is being unfairly singled out. Here it is.
If Al-Qaeda could recruit in Nigeria, why did Muttalab need to go outside the country to get recruited? We don't have Al-Qaeda in Nigeria. We don't have people that would indulge in terrorists in any form of suicide bombing. It's not in our culture. It's not in us. It's not part of our system. Once in a while, not too often, we have religious conflicts, which has died down. It has not happened for quite some time now. Yes, well, I accept it has happened in the past. But that's not terrorism. That is conflict.
I'm raising this because, Constance, some bloggers, particularly those Nigerian bloggers, particularly those writing outside of the country, are suggesting that these kinds of remarks suggest some sense of denial about the realities. For example, there's a group of people reporting under SaharaReporters.com, which publishes reports from Nigerian writers living all over the world, suggests that there's just not an acknowledgement of the seriousness of all this by suggesting that, oh, this isn't part of the culture and so forth. So, Constance, I just want to react how you are reacting to both of those perspectives.
Well, I do not think so. I do not agree with the bloggers. We have serious problems in Nigeria. We do have religious violence. We do have a problem of bad governance. We do have a problem of corruption. But including Nigeria on the list of terrorist-prone countries, especially with countries such as Afghanistan and Somalia, has taken it to another level. Having said that, I think that government at the same time has to begin to look at northern Nigeria. And we live in a global village where people can send money across borders and use it to recruit all sorts of people. So I think with this incident, it's a wake-up call that, yes, we might not have Al-Qaeda in Nigeria. At the same time, let us begin to look at the future and what might happen in the future. So that's the way that some people in Nigeria are looking at it. And we are also looking at our relations with the U.S. Some people argue that the U.S. should have contacted Nigeria before doing this. So the wider implications for this, for Nigerians, is a problem at the moment.
If you're just joining us, you're listening to Tell Me More from NPR News. I'm speaking with journalist Constance Ikoku and University Professor Mufolaji Aluko, and we're talking about Nigerian reaction to the attempted alleged Christmas Day bombing by a Nigerian national. And Professor, what's your take on this? In fact, one blogger I just want to mention, Femi Obayori, criticized Nigerian media accounts that refer to Abdul Muttalib as a child or as a boy. He says, "Some Nigerian commentators speak as if Farouk Muttalib is a small boy. Hear them, the boy, a child, the child had no guardian and all that. They said, for God's sake, the guy is an adult by any standard." So just interested in your reaction.
Well, it's true the guy is an adult. He's 23 years old. He's has a degree in mechanical engineering from a prestigious university. So he cannot really be dismissed as a boy. At the same time, the United States has a right to try and protect its citizens by all means necessary. And it has set up a list, two lists, one in which Nigeria is a country of interest. One would have hoped, as Constance said, that the Nigerian government was contacted before the list was sprung on us. This was just the very first and only attempt at external terrorism that we've ever heard. We don't ask that Britain be put on it, but there have been a lot of
You're talking about Richard Reid.
Yes, Richard Reid.
So-called shoe bomber who is a British national.
If Britain could be excluded, there's no reason why Nigeria could not be excluded. I'm not, again, asking that Britain be included. It's just that if they were excluded, then we should have been excluded. What I don't want from the Nigerian end is any bluster, any attempt at saying that if the U.S. does not just do something within 7 days, what do we do? I don't think that's the way to go diplomatically. I think this is something that must be handled with finesse. There are many Nigerians who want to travel back and forth, and there's no need to raise the tension between the two countries.
You know, you went to the Nigerian embassy yesterday, as I understand it, to meet with embassy officials and some other members of the Nigerian American community to talk about how best to respond to this. What did you come up with?
Well, what was
the sense of the room, as
no,
it were?
No, I mean, the Nigerian government has reacted. The embassy here has reacted. Quite a number of Nigerian organizations have reacted. And sometimes some of them not all helpful. I mean, some blame one part of the country, some blame Islam, some blame the government, some blame the North.
North, which is a predominantly Muslim part of the country. For those who don't know, Nigeria
yes.
is about evenly divided,
exactly,
as I understand it, between
exactly.
those who practice Christianity exactly. and those who practice Islam.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. And the embassy just wanted to have some leaders within the community here come and, I mean, critique maybe what has been done and how we can move forward. And I think it was a useful exercise, and the outcome of it will be seen in a few days to come.
The role of the father, I know that it had to have been very painful. I mean, I can't imagine a scenario in which, I don't know, Professor, perhaps you have children. I'm just interested in how that has his role is being perceived here. You have to think about how painful it must have been for him to have to go to the authorities of another country to suggest that his son was engaged in possibly dangerous activities. And I just wonder how that his role is being discussed.
Well, his role is being discussed in a very commendable fashion, that he was able to do what he's done. All the post-analysis about two wives and many children, they're quite valid. But again, this is all because of the fact many, many people who've had many children have not had somebody come out and want to bomb a plane. Let's face the facts. The fact is that Nigeria is not a terrorist country. This child, this young man was not radicalized within Nigeria. And if the American government believes that there are places within the country where there's seeds of radicalism, let us know it and let us nick them right now so that we don't have a reoccurrence of this.
That was Mobolaji Luko. He's a professor of chemical engineering at Howard University. He was kind enough to join us here in our Washington, D.C. studio. He was talking about the reactions of Nigerians living in the U.S. and Nigerian Americans to the Christmas Day events. We were also joined by Constance Ikoku, deputy editor of the newspaper This Day. She's on the line with us from her office in Lagos. I thank you both so much for speaking with us.
Very happy.
Thank you for having me.